Okay, hello Grace Point. This is Pastor Brad. Those of you that were at service today know that I really didn't preach my message. I had more of a pastoral admonition, and I did post that on Podbean and iTunes. Perhaps you're listening to this on either one of those or gracepointutica.com. I post all the podcasts there. It's also under Grace Point with Brad Kittle on iTunes and Podbean. Anyway, I wanted to go ahead and talk through or teach through the message that the Lord had given me, the teaching I had from 1 John 5. I don't think I'll have time to go back on it. I really want to teach on prayer, as I had said earlier. So just if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm covering verses 1 through 13 because I want to pick up after that when I get back and preach on prayer. It's very important stuff. So if you have your Bible, turn there. Verse 1, chapter 5, 1 John says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten." And basically, what John is saying here is that if you belong to the Father, if you put your faith in Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. If you believe, and we know from the teaching, if you believe that Jesus was the incarnational God, 1 John 1:1, he came in the flesh, we handled him, we saw him, we touched him. If you believe that he's the Son of God, if you believe he's the Messiah, the promised one in the scripture, then you're born of God. And he's talked a lot about this. If you love God, okay, then you're going to love his children. And that's what he's saying. And he's talked a lot about this throughout the previous chapters. So if you say you love God, then you're going to love God's kids. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I have children. If you love me, it's very natural that you're going to love my kids. I would expect that. He says, "By this we know what love is, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." And a little passing in review here, we've talked about this, that a real practical faith in God is going to wind up with you keeping his commandments. We're not antinomianist, which is it's easy for you to say, which means that we're not anti-law. We don't believe that you can break God's law, his moral law, that God winks at it, he doesn't care. In fact, we believe that the real fruit of the Christian life results in holy living, godly living. And this holy and godly living is anchored in the love of God. And that's what he's saying. If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. And that commandment is that you love one another. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, I put down in my notes, and if you got the notes last week at church, you'll see in the notes, point one, salvation comes through faith in Christ, believing that he is the Messiah, believing that he's the Son of God, believing that he died in your place, and as we're going to talk about later, living your life now through the life of the ages, eternal life, the life of Christ. If you turn to your Bible and you flip over to John chapter 3, Jesus talks about this life. John, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And you know the story. Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus at night. And he was basically saying, "Hey, Jesus, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one could do these signs. No one could have this fruit in his life unless God sent him." And Jesus, as he often did, it's like he's not really answering the question, or it's like he's not listening, but he speaks straight into the heart of Nicodemus. He says, "Nicodemus, most assuredly, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nick said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." So Jesus comes out the gate with this awesome teaching that we can't even see the kingdom of God unless we're born again. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we're born again, we come into contact with the invisible realm. We come in contact with the invisible God. I know a lot of people want to teach that this thing is merely intellectual, that you have all the right set of beliefs, you believe all the right doctrines, you study your Bible, you're going to figure it out. But that's not what the Bible says. If you read your Bible, you'll know Jesus says that you cannot even come to the Father unless the Spirit draws you. Paul prays that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. This is a supernatural thing. The Bible says that faith is the gift. It's the gift of God. Jesus said, no one knows the Father except who I reveal him to, except who I disclose him to, and no one knows the Son unless the Father draws him. I mean, and that's just a few scriptures. No, salvation is supernatural. It's by faith from first to last. Paul said the gospel is from faith to faith, glory to glory. It's not an anti-intellectualism. We're not against intellectualism. I love to study. I love to use my reason. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Faith is reasonable, but our faith informs our reason. No one knows God unless God reveals himself to them. That's the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God is a revealing God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, I did not receive this gospel through man. It wasn't intellectual. No one taught it to me. It was taught to me by revelation. The gospel that you believe, the Pauline gospel, was revealed to Paul by revelation. Of course, it was revelation of the scriptures. Of course, it was revelation of God's plan, and that revelation centers around the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit illuminates him. John said, in the Gospel of John, he said that the Holy Spirit was actually our teacher, that we needed him, that he had to go away so the Father could send the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And the fruit of this salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, manifests in works and obedience, which I discussed. That's point two. Point three, I really don't have time to go into it. We're going to go into this a little bit later in Sunday school. And point four says that the Spirit bears witness. So there's the witness of the Spirit. He said, if John the Baptist gave witness, the witness of God is greater. If Paul gave witness, the witness of the Spirit is greater. In Romans 8:16, Paul says that the Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God and sons of God. Jesus's miracles bore witness. Our conscience bears witness, Romans 2:15. But it is the Spirit that is the revealer, the discloser. If you read Paul's letters in the book of Colossians, he prays that you're filled with knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As I stated before, Ephesians 1 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart are opened and the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. In Philippians 1, he talks about growing and having discernment, that your love would abound with all discernment and wisdom. These things come from God. No, God reveals himself to us. And no one can know God unless he is revealed. We are Christians. We are people that the gospel was preached to us. The word of God came to us. And by faith, we are saved. God gave us the gift of faith. The word says that God gives to every man the measure of faith. And that faith that's in us as the gift of God has revealed to us who Jesus is. As I said, his person and his work. If you read down in verses 11 and 13, which I won't go back and read it. I'm going to trust that you have your Bible there, and you can even put the podcast on pause. It says, we have received life because we believe in the name of the Son of God. John says that in him is life, and this life is the light of men. Folks, we are born again. The life of Jesus is in us. I want to draw your attention to something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But God has, get this, and you'll see this word everywhere. Just start looking for it. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, you can't know God unless you have the Spirit of God. Now we have received. We have not intellectually ascertained. We have not intellectually figured it out. God says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to him. Philosophers in chapter 1 of Corinthians sought after God through wisdom. He said, I did not reveal myself that way through your intellect, through your philosophy, through your wisdom. In fact, Colossians 2 says, don't let anyone deceive you through men's philosophy and men's ideas of how to be saved. There's only one gospel. There's only one way to be saved. And he says, we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of Adam, by the way. I probably won't have time to get into that too much. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. Remember last week I talked about we can know that we're Christians. We can know what the Bible means. We can know God. We can know right from wrong. We can know that we're saved. How? By the Spirit, by faith. By faith, we know. That we might know the things which have been freely given to us, these things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. And again, I'm not against intellect. I love to study. I love to exercise my intellect. But that's not how God unveils and reveals himself alone. Faith informs our reason. It better. You ever wonder why there's like 29,000 Protestant denominations? It's because men approach God through their mere intellect. And then they disagree on every jot and tittle. And every time someone has a disagreement, I disagree with you on eschatology, beep, you're gone. I disagree with you on water baptism, boop, they're gone. I don't like how you preach, boop, you're gone. I need the deeper things, boop, you're gone. I need to see a more healing teaching, boop, you're gone. Men disagree. They get caught up in their intellect. No, the Spirit will unify us around the person and work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Spirit will unify us, the true believers, around the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all going to grow up together in this thing. We're going to learn to love one another. We're going to learn to walk in the Word. I believe in the inspired, reliable Word of God. Okay, and we're going to learn to grow up in that. He says, we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches. Remember in John chapter 14, 15, 16, he says, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. In John, 1 John chapter 2, he says, you have an anointing, and that anointing teaches you all things. It's the Spirit that bears witness. He says, we compare spiritual things with spiritual words. But the natural man, the man without the Spirit, he doesn't receive the things of God because they are foolishness to him. He cannot know them. He cannot reason to them. He cannot think toward them. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot know them. I don't care how many teachers tell you, you can reason your way to it. You can't. The Spirit reveals Jesus Christ. The Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. The Spirit reveals the Bible. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. It's not anti-intellect. It's not anti-intellectualization. It's just the way that God works. He says here, he cannot know them. You ever hear these debates where you have I love William Lane Craig. I got his books. I read them. I read a lot of apologetics. You know, I like this stuff. But you ever see these debates and it's like they're talking two different languages. You know, the scientists, the people that come from a humanistic or a just rationalistic, apart from God, reason's fine, but if God doesn't illuminate your reason, you're not going to get there. No, there's like you're speaking two different languages. It says, this guy, spiritual things are foolishness. Richard Dawkins, when he talks about the Bible, it's just foolishness to him. He don't get it. He never humbled himself to receive the Word of God. He's never allowed his Spirit. He has not been born again. The Holy Spirit does not live in him. He is darkened in his understanding. He is apart from God. He is a sinner. And sometimes I don't wonder if William Lane Craig should just look over there and say, Richard, you're a sinner. Why don't you just admit it? He ain't coming to God anyway. Look at him. It'll make him mad, but at least you'll speak the truth to him in love. Say, buddy, you're a sinner. You need the Lord. You better repent. You ain't going to heaven. No, they're darkened in their understanding. They're away from God. And unless God draws that man, he's in deep, deep kimchi. No, this is what the Word says. I got on the handout, I have scriptures that talk about this. And the Word of God is proliferated with it. I've already given you so many scriptures. The Word of God is full of this. No, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's teaching. And then he even tells you in the next chapter, those that are spiritual. Spiritual people, the people that eat me, they're not envious. See, that's what I was talking about last week, about the fruit of the Spirit. When you are a person that's being led by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, you break from your carnal life. You no longer say, I'm of Paul. I'm of John, I'm of Brad, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of, Bill Johnson, I am of Piper, I am, just name the names. You no longer say that because you know that Christ is not divided. It's okay to have favorite teachers, I've got my favorites, but you're no longer divided from one another. You're not carnal, you're not filled with envy, you don't have strife, you don't have division. You don't behave like mere men. As John would say, you walk in love and you live in love because that's the message. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that the Spirit's teaching you is not how good of a debater you are. Paul says, where is the debater of this age? Where is the wise man? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And he made it foolish at the cross. The cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Boy, why didn't I preach this message today? Why didn't I preach this message today, Lord? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul was rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. No, Paul says that we can have the mind of Christ. We can walk in the Spirit. We can choose life. The life of the ages, eternal life is in us. Jesus is in us. The Spirit of God is in us, and he's teaching us, and he's guiding us, and we are depending upon the Spirit for this. I really wanted to go into Romans 7, and I'll probably do that another time to show you contrasting the law with the Spirit. See, we're in the Spirit age, the age of the Holy Spirit. We're in the age where we have the Spirit of Christ in us, and the Holy Spirit is in us, illuminating us. And everything that the law tried to accomplish or tried to do, it could not do because it was ineffectual through the flesh. As many rules as you make up, they do not give you power to obey God. I can give you 10 rules. Rules don't give you power, but the Spirit gives you power. The Spirit gives you life. The Spirit creates a new life within you, a new power, a new range, a new limitlessness, a new love, a new faith. The Spirit in you grows and overcomes this world by faith. Amen. I'm really getting excited here. I think Pam went to hide from me. She's hiding in the other room now. No, walking in the Spirit means choosing life. You want to say something, Pam? Walking in the Spirit means choosing life. Amen. And the law can't bring life. It can only bring rules and regulations. No, the new man, the born again man, transcends the law. He operates at a higher law than the physical, carnal, fleshly law. He now operates under the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus is in him. Jesus is moving in him. Jesus is growing in him. Jesus is loving in him. Jesus is operating out of him, and the Holy Spirit is teaching him. I'm going to read my last paragraph here, and I'm going to close out in this teaching. I didn't go into great detail, but I really wanted to get this out because I don't believe I'll have the opportunity to preach it. As believers, we have faith. Romans 12:3 states that God has given to every man, every woman, the measure of faith. What we do with that faith will be up to us. We can walk by faith. We can talk by faith. We can live by faith, or we can stay in a baby state. By not growing up into Christ, choose life. Choose the Spirit. We don't live by reason alone. We live by the Spirit. Our reason is informed by our faith. Mind without Spirit's influence can never submit to God. That's Romans 8:7. And I ended it by saying, Lord, open our eyes. Which one of those great martyrs said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England? I'm saying, Lord, open the eyes of Grace Point. Let them see with the eyes of their heart. Let them see with the eyes of their spirit. And I really should say, let us see. I need this prayer as much as anyone. Lord, let us see with the eyes of our heart. Let us see with the eyes of our understanding. We are born into the kingdom of God. Let us walk in that invisible realm where bread is multiplied, where the sick are healed, where the discouraged are encouraged, where the loveless are loved, where despair turns to hope, where hate turns to love, where fear turns to faith and weakness turns to power. Let us walk in that realm, Lord, where Jesus is Lord and the Holy Spirit is our mighty helper. Aren't you tired of walking in your flesh? Aren't you tired of walking in human limitation? I am. I know I am. And I pray for us today that God will quicken us in our understanding and He'll reveal the power and the might of the true gospel of God. Amen. So be it.